Well, greetings, friends, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, bringing you another broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel. And friends, it's so nice to know that you've tuned our way again today to hear the pure, unadulterated, and uncompromising Word of God. You know, I believe there are so few places today where the Word of God is being faithfully preached in the fear of God alone. I know that I can recall, and I'm sure some of you out in Radio Land can recall too, when we were young, yes, even in our teens, that almost every Protestant church had Sunday evening evangelistic services. But today there are very few churches whose doors are even open on Sunday evening. And sad to say, some of those that are open so that the young people can have a social program of dancing or folk singing or dramatic classes and things like that. They just don't seem to have time for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I thank God for every faithful minister of the cross. I thank God for every church that is open on Sunday evening and the Word of God is faithfully preached. Friends, this condition is but another indication of departure and declension in the professing church. And it only adds to the truth that the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. Yes, the next great event in the prophetic calendar of God is the return of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He could come today. Yes, He could come today. There need be not one prophecy fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Well, friends, I thank God that I, for one, am ready for the Lord's return. Yes, I've been saved by the grace of God. And if the Lord should return today, I'd be caught up to meet my Lord and Savior in the air. And I'd be with Him and like Him forevermore. But how about you, friend? You who are listening out in Radio Land today, are you ready for the Lord's return? Are you saved? Have you been born again? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 3:3 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And friend, if you are saved, you know when, where, and how you were born into God's family. You may forget the day of the week or even the month of the year, but you'll never forget the time in your life when you chose Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Let's listen to the first hymn today, and it's entitled, My Redeemer.
Thank you.
Well, friends, I thank God today that I can shout the praises of my Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the only one I'm depending upon to take me into God's heaven is God's beloved Son. Mind you, friend, I don't profess to be any better than anyone to whom I speak to today. I'm only a sinner saved by the grace of God, and all that I am, in fact, all that I ever hope to be, I claim through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee for his redemptive work at the place called Calvary. We thank thee, our God, for all the value and the virtue thou hast placed upon his finished work there and the shedding of his own precious blood. We pray thy blessing, Father, upon thy word wherever Christ is preached today, wherever there's a faithful servant of thine in fellowship with thee, telling forth the wonderful story of redemption. May it please thee, our God, to bear thine arm in the salvation of many precious souls. Crown this day of grace and crown this broadcast today with the salvation of sinners, and we'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of our Redeemer, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, we're going to listen to another lovely tune, and it's entitled, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Those of you who have your Bibles or New Testaments handy, I'll be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans, chapter 1, and beginning at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now verse 16, Romans 1 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile." And the Lord will add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. Now, friends, today I've read to you several verses of Scripture as found in the first chapter of Paul's Epistle to the Romans, and there's much that could be said about the verses we've just read, and it would all have to do with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today I'm primarily concerned with three distinct aspects of that gospel, as mentioned here in Romans chapter 1. First of all, in verse 1, we have the source of the gospel. In verse 3, we have the subject of the gospel. And in verse 16, we have the sufficiency of the gospel. Now, of course, time doesn't permit us going into every facet of these three aspects of the gospel, but today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I'd like to bring before the unredeemed sinner the most important facts concerning the source, the subject, and the sufficiency of the gospel. Now, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul declares that he has been called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So here we notice that the source of the gospel is God Himself. No, it's not the product of the human mind. It's not the figment of man's imagination either. But rather it comes from the source of all wisdom, all knowledge, all grace, and all love. Yes, it comes from the Creator of the universe, the Lord God Almighty. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, we read that salvation is of the Lord. And over in Psalms 127 and verse 1, we're told that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Yes, friends, I thank God today that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ was not devised in the sinful mind of mere man, but rather by the God of love, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we were to take the time today to review the Old Testament, we would find that God has always been the source of all grace. He was gracious to our first parents, Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 3. He was also gracious over there in Genesis chapter 6 and 7 to the man called Noah. He was gracious to this man called Lot in Genesis chapter 19. And so it goes on and on. Even the good news or gospel of the Old Testament had God as its source. Now over in Psalms 85 and verse 9, we read that the salvation of God is nigh unto all them that fear Him. Here again we're told that the source of the gospel is God. And you'll notice too that salvation is only for them that fear God. Sinner friend, perhaps that's the reason you're still unsaved today. You don't have a reverential fear of God, the one in whose hand your very breath is. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 18 we read that as far as the unsaved are concerned, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Yes, people today are living lives which tell God that they don't fear Him at all. Oh, they may fear man all right, but they don't fear God. Many people would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but for the fact that they're afraid of what their fellow man might think or say. Well, sinner friend, God tells us in Proverbs 29 and verse 25 that the fear of man bringeth a snare, it's a trap. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, there are many, many New Testament scriptures which bring before us the fact that God is the source of the gospel, and I'll just quote a few of them to you. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, here's what we read. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Over in Romans 5 and verse 8, we're told that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then, of course, we have that most memorable of all verses, John chapter 3 and verse 16, which brings before us so beautifully the source of the gospel. Listen to this, sinner friend. This is John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, there you have it, friends. Without a doubt, the source of the gospel is God Himself. And the reason why God is the source of the gospel is found in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, my friends, the source of the gospel being preached throughout the world today is the sovereign grace of God. And friend, if you're ever going to be saved and born again and brought into the family of God, it'll have to be because you believe that God is the source of your salvation. And you'll never be saved apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God using God's Word to bring both conviction and conversion to your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John chapter 6 and verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." Now, perhaps some of the most familiar verses we have to bring before you today are those that are found in Ephesians chapter 2. Many of you know these verses, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast." And again over in Titus 3 and 5, we're told, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to God's mercy, he saved us." Well, so much for the source of the gospel. Now let's notice Romans chapter 1 and verse 3, which brings before us the subject of the gospel. We read that the gospel is concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, the entire Word of God, both Old and New Testaments, is written with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as the central theme. In the Old Testament, we have him expressed in types and shadows, all pointing forward to his incarnation as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Sinner friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who left the bosom of the Father to enter the bosom of the Virgin Mary. Yes, he left the scenes of glory and came down to the stench-filled stable in Bethlehem. And the reason he came from the heights of heaven to the earth, which was cursed because of sin, was simply to seek and to save that which was lost. And friend, he came to fulfill not only the many prophetic scriptures concerning himself, but also to fulfill the desires of his Father God. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, the Lord Jesus Christ declares that he came not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. And friends, the will of God is for poor lost sinners to trust his Son as their own and personal Savior. And that's the reason I continually bring before you on these radio broadcasts the subject of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who came forth from heaven to be cradled in a manger. He's the one who lived a sinless life while here on earth. He's the one who suffered, bled, and died for our sins on Calvary's cross. Yes, my friend, and he's the one who was buried, rose again the third day, and is now seated at the right hand of his Father God. And thank God, he's the one who is coming again to claim from the world his own. And friend, I thank God today, yes, for the God-given fact that when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And every blood-washed, born-again child of God, saved by grace alone, will be there in glory because of the subject of the gospel, the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, my friends, I'm waiting and watching for the coming again of God's Son, and it may be today. Only God knows when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. But friends, all indications in the world today point to the imminent return of God's beloved Son. And there need be not one prophecy fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the air to claim from the world his own. Now, friends, the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ is the subject of the gospel is simply because he was the one who bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Yes, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Apostle Paul declares in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 that the Lord Jesus Christ was the just one, dying for we the unjust, that he might bring us back to God. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price demanded by God to justify his claims against us as sinners. Sin, my friend, had to be dealt with, either by punishing the sinner or by punishing a substitute. And sinner friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was our substitute. He loved us so much that he didn't want us to be eternally punished for our sin. So he willingly, I said willingly, went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood and suffered the wrath of a sin-hating God so that you and I could go free. Now I ask you, sinner friend, isn't that good news? It sure is. It's the gospel, glad tidings, because the sinner is justified in God's sight the very moment he acknowledges in his heart that he's a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner, that he can't do anything to save his own soul, and then by faith alone he trusts in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse him from all sin. That's salvation, friend. That's good news. That's what salvation's all about. That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And He rose again for our justification. And the proof of God's satisfaction with the substitutionary and sacrificial death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the fact of His resurrection and the position which He now holds at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Yes, we who are saved today can declare of a truth, praise the Lord. Well, friends, up until now I've been bringing before you the source of the gospel and the subject of the gospel. Now, in Romans 1 and verse 16, we have brought before us the sufficiency of the gospel. Yes, the sufficiency of the gospel. Here's what we read. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. What is the sufficiency of the gospel? It's to everyone that believeth. And you know, friends, I thank God that the gospel is for everyone. Not just for a favored few, but for everyone. Red, yellow, black, or white, rich or poor, old or young, Irish and Polish, Catholic, Protestant, or Jew. Yes, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient to meet the needs of everyone that believeth. And friend, the reason why the gospel is for everyone is simply because there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And since we're all sinners by birth and by practice, we all have to be saved and born again if we ever expect to enter the kingdom of God. Now, friends, you'll notice that our text says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Not to everyone that's a church member. Not to everyone that's been baptized. Not to everyone that tries to keep the golden rule and Ten Commandments. But to everyone that believeth. Now we have the condition required for the gospel to be sufficient. And that is the fact that the sinner must believe something or someone. Well, what does he have to believe? First of all, he must believe that he is lost and a rebel sinner in the sight of a holy God. After all, you can't be saved until you realize you're lost. Friend, remember this. Conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of your soul as is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, he must believe that all his so-called good works and church membership and self-righteousnesses and things like that are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And that's what we're told over in Isaiah 64 and verse 6. For ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Yes, friend. And finally, he must believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, he was dying in the sinner's place. Yes, he was suffering the wrath of a holy God, which was due unto you and to I because of our sins. And friend, when you believe these facts with all your heart, you're saved. You're born again, this time into the family of God. Now, friends, I want to make it quite clear that in order to be saved, a sinner must believe in his heart, not only in his head, but in his heart. That's where a lot of professing Christians have missed the boat, so to speak. They've accepted intellectually the truth of the gospel, but they have never placed their heartfelt trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, here's what we read. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Yes, sinner friend, the salvation of God is to everyone that believeth with the heart. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, the Apostle Paul declares, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Again in John 3 and verse 36, we read, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Well, there it is, my friend. It's either believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, or else reject him and go down to a lost sinner's hell. But as you decide for or against the Lord Jesus Christ right now, I want you to know that you may never again hear the gospel. God declares in Proverbs 29 and 1, he that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Sinner friend, in view of the high cost of living and dying without Christ, Why not trust Him as your Lord and Savior right now? Yes, let my Savior become your Savior too. Know the joy of sins forgiven and life eternal. And friend, you'll never regret it. No, you'll never be sorry you accepted Christ as your Savior. You could go from the North Pole to the South. You can go from East to West all over the world today. And you won't find one person who has accepted Christ as their Savior who was ever sorry that they did so. So whoever you are, my friend, and wherever you may be out there in Radio Land today, just acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has died, and simply place your heartfelt trust in His finished work at Calvary's cross. And friend, if you'll do that right now, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we ask Thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to His honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.